absolutely intercultural.
Fullständig tvärkulturell.
Absolut interkulturell.
Absolutamente intercultural.
Absolutely intercultural.
Welcome to show number 98 of Absolutely Intercultural. My name's Anne Fox, and this show is coming to you from Denmark. The drumming which you just heard was recorded when the Ghanaian drummers of African Footprint visited Grenå earlier this year, and they are to put you in the mood for learning an African language. We'll be speaking to Kole Ade Odutola about his work teaching the Yoruba language to American students. Why Yoruba?
Language learning in America is not only a knowledge issue, it's not only a Department of Education issue, it is also a security issue.
We will also be returning to Minhaj Ur-Rehman, who, if you remember, has just arrived in Sweden from Pakistan to do an MBA. He'll be talking about how environmentally aware the Swedes seem to be. This is good when talking about wise use of resources, but maybe less so when talking about avoidance of conflict.
I've met a lot of people outside Europe and Northern Hemisphere who would wonder what kind of argument or discussion is going on if there is no passionate or heated discussion.
So let's start with the segment Absolutely Secure, where we meet Kole, who comes from Nigeria and is a true polymath with many different interests, which we'll be exploring in later shows. First, I was keen to explore more about his teaching of Yoruba in Florida. So be prepared to learn a little Yoruba in this first extract of our conversation. We start by finding out what brought him to the U.S. in the first place.
To the States, to America, to start a master's program in organizational communication, learning and design, with the hope that as soon as I completed that, I would be able to start my PhD. That was not to be, because I couldn't raise the funds to pay Cornell University that gave me admission. So I had to spend a year looking around, and finally I got a job to teach Yoruba at Rutgers University.
Can you put that in context? Is that part of some sort of African studies?
Language learning in America is not only a knowledge issue, it's not only a Department of Education issue, it is also a security issue. It's part of the citizenship to learn another language. So it's a policy of most universities that their students take 1 year of a foreign language. Could be anything.
Is that for all degrees? I mean, even a science student would take a language, is that right?
Yes, yes. You're entitled, the university expects in most of the departments that you take 1 year. It's called the foreign language fulfillment, and you would have to do it. You have to sit through it. And you come to school every day, Monday through Friday, to sit in the class. It's not a very popular decision, but that's what. That's what the university demands, that the students who are being trained to become citizens would also learn to do that. And it's just like serving in the jury. When you leave school, you could be called upon to serve in the jury. The same thing, the country could rely on the citizen at any time to say, look, we have a need in this language. And with 250 million people studying different languages, it means that a lot more would know one language in the world or the other that the state can rely upon. That is the primary objective of that. But unfortunately, the translation of it is not exactly as I just described, but it's a very good policy that should lead to cultural appreciation, and multiculturalism would have a context because more and more people will begin to see the culture of others through the language and not through mediation by translation.
I can see the advantages of that. So when a student comes to your university and decides to take Yoruba as their foreign language, what makes them do that? Is it the novelty factor or is there something more?
The long and short of it is that word is out there that it's the class is easy, that you can pass it. It's a myth. But with every myth, you could bother yourself forever about the origin of it. But let me say this. There are certain words when you say something is easy. It means in comparative to what? The structure of the Yoruba language compared with Spanish, compared even with English.
Mm.
In English, you have good and you have better and you have best.
Mm.
Now, it is good that has, in some context, transformed itself to better when you're comparing two things.
Mm.
And when three things come in, you say best,
mm.
which means you have to learn two new words in relation to good.
Mm.
Now, in the Yoruba language, when you have a verb to buy, the verb to buy in Yoruba is ra. Now, the verb, or when it, the tense, buying is nra. Now, in English, you say buy and you say buying. In our case, ra remains the stem.
Mm.
You simply put a particle, nra. Now, all you need to learn is how to make the various tenses. You don't have to learn new words. And then there are a lot of loan words as well, which is not peculiar to Yoruba language. There are lots of loan words. For instance, computer in Yoruba is computa. Wallet is walleti. Closet is closeti. Mm. So there are some of those that they can cope with.
And Yoruba is a tonal language, is that right?
Very, very tonal language, yes, it is.
Can you give an example?
There are three tones we have. There is the low tone, the upper tone, and the mid tone.
Mm.
Now, these three tones, one word could have different tones, and it will be spelled the same way, and it will mean different things.
Mm.
We have Ogun, Riri, mid tone, both of them, Ogun, and that's war. Ogun, Domi, Ogun, Ogun, Ogun. Ogun is the god of iron.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Ogun, Remi, that's 20, the number 20.
Yeah.
Then you have Ogun, which is the sweat. So you have Ogun, Ogun, Ogun. The first three are spelled the same way, but the tones on them are very, very different.
Does that lead to many misunderstandings when people are attempting to learn the language?
I don't think that's where the misunderstanding really is. It is just in the Yoruba is head initial, which means that in English, you say something like White House. In Yoruba, we say House White. For the language itself, the concern, what you want to speak about would be the first you would say. I mean, somebody's talking about White House. It's not the whiteness that is the issue.
Mm.
It is the house itself. So we lead with that. No, red shoe. It's not the red. It's the shoe itself that is red. And we will say bata, bupa. It's in the construction of a sentence for somebody who speaks English. To them, it's like Yoruba is reversed. If only they knew that Yoruba existed long before English did. English was put together from different other languages. Yoruba existed long before then. And sometimes I even say to them in my class that I have a very strong feeling that the creator of this world must have spoken Yoruba.
When I was editing the audio file for this piece, it occurred to me to look at the pattern of the sound file as Kula was demonstrating the three different ways of saying Ogun. And the three sound waves do indeed look very different. So I chose this as the graphic for this show's blog entry. You can see it at www.absolutely-intercultural.com. so that you can see for yourself what a difference a tone makes. And while you're there, if you have any comments or suggestions on this or any other part of the show, then why not add them there? At the moment, it's almost impossible to find a hotel room in Copenhagen because of the climate summit. Scandinavia does have a reputation for being environmentally aware, and it was interesting that Minhaj Ur Rehman, who's just started a course in Sweden and comes from Pakistan, noticed this specifically. So what was it that caught his attention? Let's go absolutely environmental.
Yeah, one of the things that I've really noted, and I think well, we all should do more or less, is the environmental concerns. A very good thing is that if you buy a Coke or other beverage, what you can do is that you can go to a market with empty bottles. When you're done drinking them, you can take empty bottles and you can recycle them and you get money for that. And also, there are not so many cars in my town. Everyone uses a bicycle. I've seen some of the professors using bicycles. It's amazing. Yeah? It's a small town, and you just don't need to have a car just because you're rich or something. It's just a bicycle is a wonderful thing.
We'll be returning to Minhaj a little later in the show to find out what he's noticed about the psychological environment in Sweden. Meanwhile, back in Florida, I wondered how Kåle's students could get opportunities to practice the language. How can you get absolutely authentic in Yoruba?
Are they able to interact with some authentic Yoruba language, for example, through the internet, through maybe radio or TV on the internet?
The progress with Yoruba on the internet has really increased. There are radio stations devoted solely to Yoruba. Whether students will do that, go and listen to that, that is left to be seen. I'm not sure. Teenagers are that adventurous when it comes to knowledge. Yeah, there are things online. We have radio stations, www.abeokuta.org. We have all sorts of music online. We have videos. It's the richness is mind-boggling. And then when the time you flip onto the religious side of the language itself, Ifa, you know, Ifa is a worship system, and it's so rich, and there's so much on the internet that any learner can tap into. But will the learners within an educational setting tap into that? Well, your guess is as good as mine.
What I was looking for really is for an opportunity for your students to have a reason to use the language. So the other possibility is if they have Yoruba speakers, native Yoruba speakers that they can talk with apart from you.
Well, what I do instead is that because the approach we use is called the communicative approach, which means that emphasis is more on the learners speaking and using the language. And what I try to do is I bring community members to a forum where the students can exchange and can say things. When we're not bringing them, I have taken students to the household of a Yoruba family here in Gainesville.
Oh, okay.
They welcome them. They cook. Right in my office here, I can see there's a picture of that event where a grandmother in the household cooked for them different meals, and she explained it, what it is, and they watched video, and they interacted. They saw the family, you know, dressed all in Yoruba costumes and, you know, asked questions. And they were practicing what they have learned in class. Very basic. These are students who have taken less than a year of a language. Mm. But, yes, we do that. And there are other ways in which the university also has programs programs designed that the students could also go to Nigeria for immersion. They go there for, I think, a little over 7 weeks, and they learn the language. And there's another program at the University of Wisconsin in Madison where the students actually go for a whole year to learn the language. So there are various things the students can do to practice. The one about the internet has not really come up yet. It's one of the plans that I have, but, you know, as a small, struggling, non-tenure track faculty here, it's not that easy to get support for wild and revolutionary ideas or radical ideas.
Yeah.
So I got to take my turn. The idea that you're talking about that would link up with radio station, I actually called it Itako.
Mm-hmm.
Itako is both a word that means a web, a spider's web, and also for me it's an acronym for International Tutorial and Knowledge Utilization Network, whereby if it were possible, if I can get assistance from anywhere in the world, I would be glad to start such a program that language learners would link up with radio stations in the target country where the language is, where the language they're learning.
Mm.
And because of a time differential, it might be possible for them to use Skype or any other things to practice a few of the things with radio announcers who are there, take part in radio programs and stuff and all of that. You know, something that would motivate the students. But like I said, I'm very far down the line.
Oh, wow. I'm sure there are ways and means.
So to find out more about what Yoruba sounds like, you could go to www.abeokuta.org, and that's spelled A-B-E-O-K-U-T-A.org. There you'll find music, drama videos, and some basic lessons in the language. Now, if you heard two people talking to each other in loud voices, you could assume that they were arguing and not getting on at all. But depending on where you are, you could be completely wrong. Our final segment is Absolutely Passionate and features Minhaj in Sweden again, and this time he talks about passion in conversations and where the Swedes score on that level.
I think it's one more thing that I like about Swedish people, and it can sometimes become a little irritating too. They're very good with conflict management, at least to the point where they don't let things turn into irreconcilable conflicts. Mm. What they do is that, you know, sometimes we say they're too polite for a discussion because, you know, they're so afraid of an argument. For me, or at least for from where I come from, and it's pretty common outside Western world. I don't know if that's true for all places, but I've met a lot of people outside Europe and Northern Hemisphere who would wonder what kind of argument or discussion is going on if there is no passionate or heated discussion. Because that's the way normally things are. It necessarily doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just people are so passionate about what they say and they kind of believe in that. But in Swedes, if it gets too hot or if it's get mildly hot, they think it's just getting bad and, you know, they walk away. And I don't understand what kind of discussion could there be here. I had this bad experience in the last module. We had this like 4 modules in one semester.
Mm-hmm.
So in first module, I'm in the second one now, past one. So in the first one, I had this group member and he couldn't speak English. And that was kind of strange because I don't know how he got in. But anyways, he couldn't speak English. He didn't show up for team meetings. And we told teacher that, you know, well, this guy's not cooperating. He's like a free rider. And well, he said, okay, well, you should try to tell him that it's not going to work this way. And he did that for 2 meetings, and he was the only guy who got us a very strong pass grade and not pass with distinction.
Mm.
But teachers weren't willing to tell him that, you know, we are going to give you a low mark or we are going to get you out of the group. They were just too polite. They couldn't say to him that, you know, it's not going to work. And for a moment, it gets a little irritating that, you know, 3 people get lower grades because of one guy. But then if you look deep, then I guess it's fair. I don't know, but it's still, yeah, they're very pacifist.
Thank you to Minhaj and to Cole for sharing their experiences. If you have any comments or stories relating to the topics covered in today's show, then do leave us a comment on the blog or send us an email. We're always on the lookout for new ideas to feature, so who knows, next time it could be you. The next show will be coming to you from Australia with Laurent Borgman on December the 25th. Yes, that's right, Christmas Day. I wouldn't be surprised if it involved a little pre-recording and scheduling. So stay tuned, won't you? Or Maria Lepe, as they might say in Yoruba.